Well, only the Lord can really satisfy your soul, amen. Thank you for that good message and song. Well, I asked the Lord to give me grace to get through this morning. It almost ran out before I got through preaching. And I felt like I was fixing to cough on the first three rows. Anyway, somewhere about there, but he did let me finish this morning by the grace of God. And so I appreciated that. Oh, many of you know, here probably a little over 4 years ago now, about the time that Stephen felt led to go up and take the church where he's been at, it looked a little bit dark to me. I thought, Lord, I gotta really talk to you about this thing, and I did. And I asked him for several things, and one of them was send me some help. And he did, and he sent several. God's always better than you ask, you know that? Amen. I could name several of you that's probably been here just about that long or a little less than that. That's been a real special blessing on top of the team we already had, but we just needed some help. And God sent a number that has been a blessing and a special personal, I felt like personal answer prayer for myself in those days. And one of those men was Brother Barry Parsons, and I lean on Brother Parsons quite a bit. He's around here all over the place doing so much, not just the duties of the college, but so many other things, the whole big picture. He deals with the whole big picture. And from time to time covers for me. I think he did last Wednesday night, and I asked him to do it again tonight. I almost let him this morning. I thought, I need to get paid one more time, so... So I'll preach this morning, and maybe they'll give me at least a half a paycheck for it, and I'll make it through the week. Now, I'm playing around with you some, but it's so good to have Brother Parsons and others, several of you, I can't start naming everybody, but that just steps up and gets the job done. And Brother Parsons is one of them, a good preacher, knows the Word of God, and I'm going to ask him to come bring the message tonight, Brother Barry.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and go to the book of Philippians. I had planned to be somewhere else tonight, and the Lord has arrested my heart. Amen. And so, buckle up. Amen. The college this year is its theme. If you would pray for our college year and just all that'll go on. And we're a part of the church, and we want to have a good year together. And we're just... spoke on the wheel, amen, and so we just want to fall in and do our part and be a part of everything. But our theme verse is taken out of Philippians chapter number 1, and I want to read the verse, and then we'll jump back to chapter number 3. But for those of you in the tape booth, in case I forget to get around to it, let's make the title of the message tonight, Apprehended. Apprehended. Here in verse number 20, it says, of the book of Philippians, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing, you see that with me, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul, writing this book to the Philippian church, and the theme of our college year is that Christ shall be magnified in my body. That Christ shall be magnified in me. I want Christ to be magnified in me. I want you to, if you would, to turn with me, and if you'll pray for our theme, that we'd live up to that. That's something that we desire to do. But Philippians chapter 3, it's a great chapter of the Scripture. I mean, every part of the Word of God is great, but I take my life verse out of this chapter, and just the singing and everything that went on tonight has led us to this place where I believe the Lord have me preach and expound this area of Scripture tonight. And so if you'd allow me to, I'd like to pray and ask Him to help me tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray and ask You again for Your power. Dear God, I pray that You'd give me unction tonight to preach the Word of God. I pray You'd help me to do what I can't do on my own, dear God, that You would just use me as Your mouthpiece, dear God, to expound the Scripture. To just be what You want me to be tonight, just to say what You want me to say. Holy Spirit of God, if You would go into the hearts of the believers use your word. You said it wouldn't return void. I pray that you'd do a work tonight. I believe the song service has led up to this place, and I believe I'm in the area you directed my heart to. Now I pray that you do the work. Use me as your vessel. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll start and look with me here. Paul, in the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about, he really begins talking about circumcision and the Israelites and the whole problem that they had throughout the scripture about the circumcision, thinking they were better than the Gentiles. And he begins that there. And Paul kind of launches off in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So Paul's just trying to tell you, listen, if anybody thought they had something to brag on as a Jew, let me tell you who I am. Let me rear back and tell you, if anybody had the right to brag in the flesh, Paul says, I have the right to brag in the flesh. And he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Listen, I don't know of anybody that would have penned down under the Holy Spirit of God, the inspiration of God. Listen, God wouldn't have let Paul write that down. I believe this book is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I believe I'm in that place. And Paul says about his own life, he said, concerning the law, I'm blameless. Now, I just want you to see that and understand this, because I think sometimes we don't, you know, even if Paul, he's not saying that he was sinless, but he is saying that as far as this earthly law is concerned, the law that he was supposed to keep, that there wasn't anybody that was going to point a finger at Paul. What he had been taught, he lived out in his life. He was zealous, he said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. These are the things he's talking about. Touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is my life verse and where I'm going to preach tonight. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, I beg you tonight, you know, I thought about this we were Saturday, and I believe every one of us, listen, I look over a sea of people, and I've told you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate the fact that I get to be a part of this ministry, and I look at a bunch of people that worked this week, amen, and did right and put their money in the plate, and I thank you for that. Listen, I want to tell you, you know, it's just a simple thing that we did right, and I did that and done that, but I want to tell you today, listen, you know, I thought Saturday, you know, we were out, and I haven't even talked to a preacher about it. The boys' dorms had backed up, you know, and you know what I'm talking about? I mean, the sewer was not, everything was not going downhill. That's what everybody thinks. A plumber only needs to know that stuff goes downhill, and as long as you got that. But there's more to it than that. And so we spent a good part of Saturday digging about 2 feet deep to replace a pipe. And so I believe that I've earned my PhD this weekend. Amen. 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 And I, you know, but I want you all to know, listen, you know, I thought about, and Brother Donahue made a statement that kind of, it just struck me funny the way he said it, but he was talking to me, he said, aren't you glad that God called you to preach? You know, and I mean, you know, and I said, yeah, because we never work. You know, I mean, that's what people think about preachers. They really do. I mean, they think that preachers, you know, and I've heard people talk about how much they slave to prepare a ministry or a message and all those things. But I want to tell you, listen, I didn't leave work to go do nothing. Amen. I left to be in the work and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today, listen, I said that to say this. I thought about that. I began to think about what I would have made if I was getting paid to do that. And I started calculating it. That was dangerous, preacher, you know? I had to get my mind off of it because I started to think about how much time we had invested in it and how much pipe we had put in the ground and all the things we had done. And I was thinking about what that really was worth to the church, the ministry, or what somebody would have paid to have that done. And then I thought to myself, praise the Lord. You know, God could have called anybody to do anything. He could have had anybody here. But, you know, I was doing something that I knew how to do very well. I had done it over and over and over again for the secular world. But listen, none of that had eternal value. Listen, I get every time a boy in the boys' dorms that's in there that's going to serve God and do something with his life, and he flushes the toilet, I get a part in that. Amen. I'm just telling you, I mean, every time they put the flush on it, I get a part of that. But I want to tell you tonight, look, if you'll look at verse number 12 with me, I want to listen, Paul said some things about his past life. And I just want to, can I just testify for a little while tonight? Listen, I grew up in the church. And if there was anybody that ought to be saved and doing right and was somebody, Paul was talking about his past life and all the things that he counted but done. I want to tell you, ever since I was 5 years old, I've been in an independent, fundamental Baptist church. I have a goodly heritage. I have people that have invested in me. And I mean, I have Sunday school teachers and junior church workers. I could preach some of the greatest sermons that I've ever heard in my life from a junior church teacher named Jeff Smith that cared and invested himself. And I learned so much doctrine as a tweenager, if you would, as a young man. And I just listened. And he would talk, you know, he preached this one message, preacher, about the spider web of sin. And how, I mean, and I never forgot it. It kept me out of so much in my life. He talked about how if I walked up and I just tried to dabble in sin, it'd get a hold of me. And then when I tried to pull off, I'd get stuck again, and next thing I knew, I'd be buried in that thing, and I couldn't get out. Listen, it changed my life, because listen, I knew I was scared to death to touch sin, and I grew up like that, and I have a goodly heritage, but listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, I was a lot like Paul. I didn't get saved until later on, until 15 years of age. Listen, I want to tell you, I was in church and hearing the gospel and heard it over and over again. I knew so much of the Bible doctrines, just like Paul had been taught it, but it was an experience one day with me that God did not give up on me. Over and over again, I heard, and then one night, I mean, when I had had dream after dream, I was going to spend eternity in hell, and I would try to tell the Holy Spirit, don't you know I prayed a prayer, and I'd try to talk him out of it, and I'd try to tell him, don't you know who you're talking to? I'm a Baptist of the Baptist. I grew up in a good independent church, and I'm saved, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. And he said, I know, but you're lost and on your way to hell. I knew where you grew up. I know what you prayed. I knew what went on with you. You say, Brother Parson, you're trying to make us... Listen, somebody that's saved can't doubt their salvation like that. If you truly know that you know that you know that you're saved, listen, I was one of those people that grew up in the church, and somebody at 5 years old knelt down with me and prayed with me, and I came down because other people came down. And listen, people told me over and over again, don't you remember what you did back then? But listen, what I needed Jesus. Amen. Listen, and it took me a few years to understand that I needed to ask Christ to come into my heart. That it wasn't my mom and daddy's relationship. It wasn't some relationship I had with the preacher, but it was my relationship with Christ that mattered. Amen. That I needed to have a personal salvation that was just between me and him. Amen. And can I tell you tonight, listen, I was arrested with the fact that I was lost and on my way to hell. And listen, Christ apprehended me. Amen. I want to tell you this, and I like telling stories, and I always like bringing my wife into it. So I'll do that again tonight, amen? She loves it too. She says she doesn't, but she does like it, you know? Amen. But anyway, she'll beat me later. Anyway, she's really not that bad. I just make that stuff up. But anyway, that's not really preaching. That's just the middle stuff. Anyway, so So every time I'm driving and we're in a car, and she'll testify to this, she may even say amen during this, I give you permission. All right, so, but when we're driving in the car, I it's something about it. When I preach, if I go into a 7-Eleven, I don't ever get nervous when there's policemen. I don't ever. I just tell them I thank them for their service. I never worry about that. And when I see them in the department store, or I see them around, I tell my children, if you're in trouble, you go tell a policeman, and they'll get hold of somebody. I mean, I respectfully fear the policeman. But when I'm in a car, something changes inside of me. Okay? You know how it is? It's to say I get the same way when I'm with a snake. Okay? I'm liable to hurt myself. Because I'll be driving down the road paying attention and taking care of everything, but if I see a policeman, I almost swerve off the road to look and see how fast I'm going. I hadn't paid attention to it. I didn't know, and I usually don't speed. You can ask. But anyway. I'm just that way. I mean, you know, I for some other reason, I assume that I am doing wrong while I am in a vehicle. I don't know what that is. I feel guilty immediately. Hey, but you know, I know this about Christians. Do you know that there are so many things that we have right, but there will be something in our Christian life that when somebody preaches about it, we get uncomfortable. It could be on standards. It could be on, I could hit the gamut on sin. It could be on tithing. You know, I've noticed, and you say, you ought not talk about money. Those are the people that don't want you to talk. Most of the people that don't like people talking about money are the people that got a problem with it. Can I tell you tonight, listen, I don't get squirmy around police officers until I'm in a vehicle, because most of the time that I'm sinning and I could be apprehended, amen, it would be in a car, because when I'm everywhere else, I know that I'm abiding by the law. I don't even let these college students jaywalk through the middle. They always have to go to the corner. Amen. If I see them, we give them demerits. We don't let the police officer catch them. Amen. We get after them. Right, Tyler? Amen. Amen. But I wanted to just kind of bring this to you tonight, because, listen, you know, good hard preaching, when you start fidgeting and you got a problem with something or it hits you, my preacher would say it like this. The dog that hollers is the dog that got hit by the stone when you throw it into the back. Amen? When you throw a rock, the dog that barks is the one that got hit. Amen. I want to just tell you tonight, listen, there's sometimes we all need preaching. Amen? Amen. We need to get hit with the stone every once in a while to wake us up, to make us feel uncomfortable. If everything is peachy keen and feel good and nothing ever arrests us or apprehends us our attention because there's something wrong in our lives, if everything is feel good, listen, then nobody has ever attained. Here's the Apostle Paul, the guy that said that he was blameless, and he goes through this and he says, not as though in verse number 12, if you would, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Listen, if I'm going to let Christ be magnified in my body, then I am not only going to have to be apprehended at salvation by the things of God and accept Christ as my Savior, but I am going to have a life's pursuit of apprehending the things of Christ. That means my entire being has to be set on magnifying Christ in my body. That means I have to pursue the things of God. I already preached on Wednesday night. I kind of gave a lesson on seeking and attaining things. And this verse is no different. It's teaching the same aspect. But listen, hey, you guys that came for college, listen, don't think that 4 years of college is going to get it done. Don't think that 3 years. Don't think some of you that are going to spend 6 years, that's the limit of the pursuit or trying to apprehend Christ. It is a lifetime pursuit that you cannot lay down. It's a daily time trying to get more and more and more of Christ. It's a pursuit. Listen, he desired to apprehend me. Listen, I want to apprehend Christ. I want to seek him. I want to know his will, not for yesterday, but for today. I want to know what he wants to teach me today. Listen, I want to be teachable. I don't ever want to get to a place in my life that I'm not teachable by the things of God. And I don't ever want to get to the time that God has to break me because I'm so hard. I've let the insides of me get so hard that God can't plant things in my life. He has to break up the soil again. Listen, he says, I am apprehended of Christ. He goes on in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Do you know that I tell you some of those things, and that's my life verse. It's what I hold on to right now when I'm in down and I want to remind myself of what I'm trying to do for God and where I want to be. I go back to that verse and read it again. But listen, it also reminds me to read the next verse. Do you know that there are failures in my life that I'm not proud of? Listen, I've got things tonight I wouldn't tell. I don't want to tell you because I don't want to tell you about the low spots of my life. Listen, if we could just pull out down the screen tonight and put some of the worst, most embarrassing or things in your Christian life up on the screen, boy, we would all, listen, none of us would ever come back to church here with each other. Hey, but you know what the Bible says and Paul says? This guy that said he was blameless, forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. Do you know every one of us failed God? Every one of us have failed God at some time. And some failures are bigger than others, but we've got to get to a place in our Christian life that we forget those things that are behind because they're under the blood. We let it go and move on for God. I can't spend all my time looking back at how I failed God. Now listen, I preached on Wednesday night and I believe God really ordained this in my life tonight, what he put on my heart. I talked about my grill and how there was a hole and that thing took me out two or three times. If there had been a camera in my backyard, I could have won a lot of money on that funniest, I don't know if that, is that funniest home video thing still out? Funniest home digital, whatever that mess is. But anyway, I mean, I just walked like there was no hole and it took me out. And I told you, I trained myself. Now it's like there's a barrier there and I walk on. Listen, in my own life, forgetting those things which are behind, it's not necessary. Listen, it's forgetting those things. I'm talking about to the place where you know, and we talked about this, and I don't want to make it rhetorical, but forgetting means this, college student. It's like it never happened. Yeah. Because, see, God forgives us and forgets. We're the ones that remember. Let me say this to other Christians that are sitting in this building. If God can forgive and forget, you ought to, too. Right. Amen. See, the problem with a lot of churches is we got a lot of people that could serve and do great things for God, but sometimes they forget, but we hold it over their head for the rest of their life. Hey, and if the truth be told, you might have been guilty of the same thing. Hey, if the truth was told, if we turned out what you were guilty of, can I tell you tonight? Somebody else would want to hold that over your head. But it's hard for people to go forward when they're trying to forget and you keep bringing it up. Amen. We just talked about this on Wednesday night, but forgiving and forbearing one another. This is a great area of scripture because it's hard enough. I don't know about you, but I'm my hardest critic. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you. Nobody, you know, when I was on the football field, my coach didn't need to come and holler in my face. He could see it all over me. I was beating myself up. If I had gotten beat on the field and somebody, if I knew that I was supposed to hold the corner and somebody beat me around the corner and I didn't turn them in, a good defensive end always turns them back in. And if the defensive end turns them in and then I get blocked as a linebacker, that was my responsibility. And I'd be so mad with myself. Because listen, now I was into free safety. No, Lord knows that. I mean, typically they're the littlest guy on the field, and you let a big guy with the ball go by you as a linebacker, then you're just on the ground praying. Lord, help a miracle to happen. Help that guy that weighs 110 tackle this guy that's 220. Amen. Listen, I just want to tell you tonight, listen, for you and I in the Christian life, it's important that we forget the past things because they'll hang us up. The past failures. And the Bible talks about, and some of you were such of these things. And Paul constantly talks about this throughout all the New Testament books that he wrote. But I want to tell you, he says, this one thing I do. Do you know how important that is? I might be bombarding us and overselling it tonight, but Paul oversold it in the scripture by saying, he could have told you, this is my three-step program for apprehending God. But he said, this one thing I do. When I'm seeking to apprehend God, this one thing I do, I don't let the old man and the old things in the past keep me from apprehending Christ. Because listen, I'm here to tell you, there are some people that I've interviewed, and I mean, listen, that you know, for the college, that'll come in and they'll want to counsel. And they'll want to talk about things that happened a long time ago. And I said, why are you bringing that up? That, you know, that's so far ago. Did you ask God to forgive you? Oh, yeah, I asked God to forgive me. And why haven't you moved on? Why haven't you got by that thing already?
Amen.
It's over. Now, I know we're supposed to learn from some things. But he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Progress is simply moving forward. Talking about plumbing, I put this septic system in perfectly. So I thought. And I mean, there was perfectly staked boundaries on the edge of the property line. It's very important to put somebody's septic on their own property. Amen. And so I measured everything by the stakes that were out there, and I put it in. And then the engineer came on the site and began to inspect it. And I saw he was taking a real long time looking at the property line. Had never inspected the septic, but he just kept looking at the property line. And then he dug up two new posts that were knocked down. And the ones I had measured off of were not the property line. They were just stakes somebody had driven in the ground. And I was 5 foot closer to the property line than I was supposed to be. Wasn't necessarily in the man's yard, but they could not inspect it the way it was. It wasn't to specs. Now, I want to tell you what I did. I sat down in the yard and cried. I bawled my eyes out. I asked the Lord to move the whole septic system 5 feet over. That's not what I did. I started to measure myself. And you know what I'd done, preacher? Not only had I put that septic system that close, but I put the tank so close to the septic system that I couldn't move it. I had to move the tanks and the septic system. And if you all have seen septic tanks, I didn't pick those up and move them. I know y'all think I'm strong. All right, but I didn't do that. That all costs money. I called the tank trucks, and they pulled them out of the ground, and I dug new holes, and we moved them over. Me and my guys dug all the stone that we had put in the ground in the pipe and pulled it out, and we moved it over, the 5 feet that it needed to be moved over, where it needed to be, and we installed everything again. And then I quit. I said, I'm done with this foolishness. I failed this one time. I'm never going to put another septic in. That's not what I said. I realized that I had failed. We did not make any money off of that septic system. I'd spent the entire day paying my guys to do it twice. I'd spent my time, invested my time there. I was not happy with myself. I was in business with my brother-in-laws, and I looked at all of them and said, I know. Amen? And they came. I said, no, I really need you to come and see what I was looking at. And they came and looked at the property lines, and they said, all three of them said, we'd have done the same thing you did. It's all right. You know what I did the next day? Preacher, I had to forget what I did. And I had to go to work again. Because the guys needed to get paid, and I needed to stay working, and I needed to keep going. I couldn't worry about what happened yesterday. I had to need to get on with the day. I had to forget yesterday and make money today. You know what I did the next week? I watched closer than anybody. Either one of my brothers, I made sure they were the property lines. I watched close, and I made sure not only that I just flippantly dig holes for the tanks, but I made sure that I gave myself some space. And listen, it didn't make me worse because I failed. It made me better. It didn't kill me. It made me better. Hey, can I tell you, sometimes in the Christian life, if sometimes failures in the Christian life, getting it under the blood and getting it right and getting on with your Christian life will make you better.
Amen.
You can have sympathy for others that are failing. And you can tell them, hey, something like that happened to me. You need to pick up and go on. Hey, you can tell people that are down in the dumps, hey, keep on getting on. Just forget that mess. Get it. Ask God to forgive you and get on with it. Because listen, you know, I'm telling you, the majority of Christians today, they hang on to that, or they keep digging it up, or their brothers and sisters in Christ won't let them forget it.
Yeah.
And they keep digging it up. You got to forget those things and reach forward for the things. God wants us to. Why? Because he says, I want you. In verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what I love. Paul writing to a church. A lot of this has been personal. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and I'm reaching forth. And then he says, let us, in verse 15. Therefore, as many as be perfect. Again, it doesn't mean that they're sinless. It means they're complete in their Christian life. Complete in him. As many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we all have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Let me say this to the college students, and even maybe you're a brand new Christian. Listen, we need as a church, listen, those people that you see as a complete Christian, those people you see have grown up in Christ, and you can tell that, I mean, there's something different about them. They've got some maturity in Christian life, how they deal with things. They're a mature Christian. The Bible tells us to mark them. See, when a race car driver, amen, gets in a race, sometimes his car ain't all it ought to be. Maybe he banged it up. Maybe he, beat it up early in the race. Maybe a tire blew and ripped a fender off of it. But I watched enough NASCAR that they'll find some guy that their car hooks up with. And they're not that fast. I mean, they just really, by themselves, they can't get around the track the way they ought to be able to get around the track. But they'll find somebody. Sometimes it's a teammate. In racing today, they got a lot of teammates. And maybe they get on the horn and say, and they mark them. And they tuck in with them. And going together and hitting the marks. Listen, their car, it's all they can do. Sometimes they're fighting their car so much that they're really struggling. But they can keep it on the back bumper of the person ahead of them. They can watch when they turn and they turn while they're fighting that car. And you know, the two of them can go faster than one car could by itself. And they'll go lap after lap after lap like that. And listen, if they go, listen, that prize of the high calling of God, you know, the Christian life is no different than that. College students, we didn't bring you here so that you could just sit in the classroom and just learn all this head knowledge. We brought you here to mark some people that are in this church. Because we don't have a Bible college, we have a church that has a Bible college. And we have people here that are here to help train you to be what you ought to be in the Christian life. And you ought to spend your time looking around the church and building relationships and marking people and then tucking in behind them. And keep forgetting those things which are behind. Keep throwing those weights off. And then just sticking to the back bumper and hitting those marks. Hey, can I tell you? The Christian life, listen, I want to tell you, I got apprehended as a teenager, and I got excited about being saved. And I wanted, listen, it arrested my attention in my heart, and I've never gotten over it.
Amen.
And I've wanted, listen, I've not always wanted it as much as I do tonight. But I'm growing up in that most holy faith. I'm trying to become and be. Listen, I haven't attained yet, but I was apprehended, and I am seeking with everything I am to apprehend Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I'm looking at a group of people. I think a lot of us are in the same boat. I believe a lot of us still, listen, if we had to say it, we wouldn't say that I'm already perfect. Amen. We wouldn't sign our name if the Bible said I'm a complete Christian. Listen, if God, as God is my witness, I wouldn't sign that paper tonight. Amen. Humbly, I would not. I'd brokenhearted say I still got some things to add to that list. But I want to tell you, there's still people that I mark. There's still people that I'm tucking in behind. I'm not. Listen, I've not come to a place where I've attained. I'm not the leader of the pack. And listen, you say, well, Brother Parsons, are you ever? No, because even when you make it to the front and you're the only visible car in the lead, there's another car called Jesus leading the pack. And I can look through the scripture and I can see the marks that he hit, and I keep following those marks. Listen, when I don't have anybody else earthly to look to, I can look to Jesus. Listen, you know, and I've told this story before, but I think it's worth telling again. Old Ricky Rudd, for some of you guys that knew the Tide car, amen, the Tide Pods got real popular here lately. Anyway, I don't recommend eating them, okay? They're for washing clothes, okay? But the Tide car was what Ricky Rudd drove, and this is still when Richard Petty was going. And he used to, you know, he was called the king, amen, and they made lap after lap after lap, and something had gotten torn up on Ricky Rudd's car, and he had the fastest car on the track that day. But something happened to his car, you know, I mean, he took on some debris, and it knocked a hole in the undercarriage of his car. And he was taking on all kinds of smoke. I mean, he was contending, he was battling with some real things. I mean, stuff that would put you out of the race. But he decided he was going to finish, that he wasn't going to quit, he wasn't going to pull into pits, he was going to stay the course. Listen, even if it cost him his life, he was going to stay the course for a simple worldly race.
Right.
And he found out that when he got up behind Richard Petty, that his car, some of that stuff went away. For some reason, getting close to him, it just made that stuff go away. And he just pushed and he pushed. Ricky Rudd was the fastest car on the track, but he couldn't see when he was riding by himself. But when he tucked it behind the king, he said, everything seemed right. And Richard was not the fastest car that day, and he pushed Richard Petty to the win. He said, and they asked him, you know, when they got at the end of the race and he was drug out of the car, you know how they are, they're all drenched with sweat, they all look like they're going to die when they get out of there unless they win. Amen. And so, and Ricky Rudd's laying out there in second place, and he said, how did you finish? Your car was torn to pieces, and you know, you had so much of the exhaust coming in the car, and the temperature was like 120 something in the car the whole race. He said, I just tucked it in behind the king until I got it home. I just tucked it in behind the king. Listen, every one of us as Christians, we need to make a choice that we're gonna go for the prize of the high calling of God. Whatever that means for you, whatever God's called you to do, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, a bus worker, a deacon, an usher, whatever it is, you need to stay the course until you reach the prize of the high calling. Listen, and mark people. Maybe somebody that was that person that you marked has gone by the wayside. Mark somebody else. And if there's nobody else, then mark Jesus and stay in the book. And stay behind him and stay with him and keep on keeping on. Listen, if you get in the bumps, if you get in the trash up at the top of the racetrack, then forget those things which are behind. Get back in line and keep going for God. Listen, every one of us as Christians, you college students, don't ever get to a place. What'll mess you up is you'll think that you've arrived. Listen. The worst thing you can get is a critical spirit thinking that you know more than your teachers. Amen. The worst thing that can happen to you is thinking that listen, this guy over here, he's, man, I could tell him a few things. Listen, stay in line, stay in your lane, hit your marks. Listen, and one day, listen, people will be marking you. And whether you know it or not, some of them teenagers are already marking you. Whether you know it or not, there's people on your bus routes that are already marking you and watching your race. Hey, so keep in your lane. Keep on keeping on. Listen, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I'm going to turn it over to the preacher, but I want to say this to you tonight. If you felt like you had apprehended tonight, you say, Brother Parsons, I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to make my marks. Listen, maybe there's something that I said tonight that touched your heart. Would you do business with God? musicians are coming, and I'm going to turn it over to preacher here in just a minute. But I beg you tonight, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. But I beg you tonight, if God spoke to your heart, do business with him. Maybe you got something that you have not let go of, that God brought to your mind once again tonight that you need to forget, and it's hurting your ministry for Christ. Why don't you come down and forget it tonight, preacher?
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Let's think about what you just heard for a little bit. Scripture says we all run in a race, that we all run. The question is, how do we run the race that's set before us? Are we going to be apprehended for the Lord and fully give him our attention and serve him? Or are we going to keep on remembering the bad things the devil got us with, things that's been under the blood, but we keep pulling them up and keep on delaying doing anything for God because we can't get up off of where we hung up? Maybe somebody else is still criticizing you. I want to tell you, you won't stop them by hitting back. You'll stop them by living right, letting them see you run the race for the Lord. Good message for God's people tonight, especially for you and I. We get tempted to drop out of the race, and the key is, and what a good analogy Brother Parson made, just tuck up behind the King. Let him pull us through, amen? What a good thought for us tonight. Maybe tonight you need to understand, you've been saved. You know, if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. That's wonderful. I'm glad if you know that. You should know that. But is the time come in your life that you let the Lord arrest you, apprehend you? That means take control of you. Tonight could be that night. Some of you tonight could have a funeral service and bury some of the more bad things that the devil keeps pulling up and shaking in front of your face. That would give you a victory. Father, may you add your blessing to the message, to the analogy, to the truth of the scripture. Help us, Lord, to be willing, be apprehended, set apart, pulled over for you. Speak to our hearts tonight about it, Father. Help us to say yes to you. In Jesus' name. Brother Bert, lead us in something, and the altar's open. You can come. You got plenty of time to do business.